God for those who are on live with us. Amen. Let's bow our heads, and we're going to go right into our prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, God. Appreciate you for all that you are, all that you mean. God, hide me beneath the cross. God, speak through my mouth, think through my mind, God, and make it be all of you and less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. Let them get what they need, and God, take it into the week where they can duplicate it and practically live it out. In Jesus' name, and let the people say, amen. Come on, with your Bibles in your hands. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, deliver this word. Come on, put your hands together this morning. All right, last week we talked about, Lord, deliver me. And that's still been in my heart and in my mind. We're not really in a series unless I decide to make it into one, but I just wanted to bring that up from last week. And what we talked about last week were the 11 keys to deliverance from Psalms 18. And so we worked through that, and we even dug into it on Bible study and went back into it and looked at some of those points. And so we are believing that we will come to a season where we will have absolute and total deliverance from everything that is plaguing us. It won't last forever because we live in a fallen world. You're going to be challenged, but having some season, even if you just had a week where nothing went wrong and everything was right, you'd be happy for that week. And even though I preached this, I had a terrible week, and my wife didn't have one that much better. But it's okay, because we know that God is in the delivering business. So it's not an issue. However, this is something we want to talk about today, and it is this: Lord, bless me. Somebody say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. We're going to talk about, in a few minutes, I'll have them bring it up, but it's interesting that we often talk about blessing and being blessed and God blessing us, and sometimes we think it's just supposed to drop out of the sky, and you're never supposed to just say, God, I need it. Bless me. Sometimes when people, I come up to the altar for prayer, I'd be like, what do you need? Well, just anything. Well, it's good to have a prayer for anything, but sometimes you get in a situation where I need some blessing. I don't need anything. I don't need my ex trying to reach out and call me back. I need something specific. Lord, bless me. Somebody say it again. Say, Lord, bless me. All right, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to put up 10 keys that unlock blessings from the Old Testament. 10 keys that unlock blessings, and we're only going to be using verses from the Old Testament. But even though I just said that, I'm going to give you one verse from the New Testament that I think will be very important to help us as we move forward. And that verse, and I'll read it myself, that verse is Hebrews 8:6 from the King James Version. It says, but now hath he obtained, that he, meaning Jesus, a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament, or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Bible says that the New Covenant is a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So I'm going to show you how to be blessed from promises in the Old Testament, but just know that in the New Covenant, we even have better promises. And I'll show you some of the reasons as we go through it. But always know that if they were blessed in the Old Testament, we should be that much more blessed. We see them being blessed in the Old Testament, but sometimes we don't see blessings here. We don't see it because sometimes we've been lulled to sleep and sometimes we forgot to declare it and demand it. Listen, you cuss, you fuss, you holler, you yell. You might as well talk about God bless me. Bless my house. Bless my car. Bless my money. Bless my meal. Bless it. Sometimes you just got to say bless it. Sometimes you can't go to the mechanic. I don't have the money to go to the mechanic. I'm going to get some oil. I'm going to put it on the car. I'm going to wipe a cross on the front of the grill. God bless this car. Let it do what it needs. Lord, bless me. Sometimes because we have so many things that we can turn to, we forget to turn to God. Well, I got unemployment coming in. Thank God for unemployment. But Lord, bless me so I'm in a situation that even if I ever get unemployed, I got 7 streams of income. One monkey won't stop to show. Lord, bless me. I'm giving you in these sermons, I'm giving you the permission to be a little selfish. I told you to say, Lord, deliver me. Now I'm telling you to say, Lord, bless me. If you've encouraged other people and you've been there for other people and prayed for other people, it's okay to have something for yourself. There's nothing wrong with self-care and self-love and self-prayer. Lord, bless me. I thank you for Devin. I thank you for Draylen, Dylan, Alana, and even Bentley the dog. But right now, I'm the one that need a blessing. Lord, bless me. All right. So, let's go right to the Old Testament. How we're going to work this is we're going to be reading the Old Testament verses first, and then we will give you the key after we have read the verse. So let's look at first. They got it up here on the screen.
And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested.
One of my favorite scriptures and one of my favorite passages to preach. I've got a whole message I preached just on that verse. And I'm not going to go through all of that. But let me bring up point number one. Calling on the Lord with specific requests unlocks the door to blessings. It's okay to be general. But when you get in certain situations like Jabez said, God bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory and keep your hand on me and keep me from the evil one. He had some specific requests. Once you've been beat upside the head from the devil and from your bad choices, you know exactly what you want and you know exactly what you need. And it's okay to be specific with God on what you need. I need something specifically. I'm driving a car, not haphazardly. That's the car that I wrote down. I want that car. I want that model. I want that color interior. Yes, I would be happy for any Cadillac, but if I'm going to use my money, I want it this way. And so before I ever bought it, I wrote it down in my prayer journal. This is how I want it. This is where I want it, because I want to be specific before God. And I got it just the way I asked for, just the way I declared it, because I was specific. God, give me a car. And in the mail comes a Hot Wheel. You just asked God to give you a car. You wasn't specific. So don't be mad. You be specific. But once you've gone through enough hell, you know how to tell God just what you want. You know, when kids get older and they mature, sometimes they say, you ain't got to buy me nothing for Christmas. I just want $300. I want some cash. Let me buy it myself. I'm specific. Don't go out there wasting your time. This is what I want. Now, if they're 6, 7, and 8, they can't tell you that. But if they're 18, 19, 20, maybe they can say specifically, just give me the money. Sometimes wives are just specific. They bring the man, listen, I like this perfume. Now, don't buy me this other stuff that smell like musty mothballs. This is what I like. I want this. Specific, specificity. And that unlocks blessings when you're specific with God. What do you specifically need? And the reason why some of y'all can't be specific is because you don't know where you're going. So since you don't know where you're going, you really don't know what you need. When you're always going in circles, you don't know what you need. because you're always going in the same circle. But when you have a direction for your life and you are living on purpose, there's some certain things. I got to have it this way. If I have a friend come in my life, if I have a male friend come into my life, I don't want a male friend that has a wife and two girlfriends, because I can't have that in my life. I need a friend that's going to be walking in the direction that I'm going. So God bless me with the kind of friend that I need. God, I just need a friend. No. Be specific. Let's put that back up. Number one, calling on the Lord with specific requests unlocks the door to blessings. Now, understand the song that says, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I'm not knocking that, because sometimes God can do something general, but sometimes you need specific things. All right, let's look at also, I want to back up from that verse. I want to go, we read verse 10. I want to read 1 Chronicles 4, 9a, the first clause of the verse.
And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren.
Number two, point number two, honor unlocks the door to blessings. If you know anything about that Chronicles story, they were not talking about blessings. They were not even telling anybody's story. It was one of those descendant stories that so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But in the middle of them doing all that, here we see Jabez being lifted out, talking about a prayer and a blessing, and then it goes back talking regular about so-and-so begat so-and-so. Why did Jabez get lifted out? Because the Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. Honor will unlock blessings over your life. Dishonor will cause blessings to run away from you. And you have to be careful how you flow in honor. I just talked about voting. And while you are voting and while there are people in office that you do not like, you still have to learn how to honor the office, even if you can't honor the person. Because you need blessings over your life. I can't afford to dishonor anybody because I need blessings over my life. Now, I've been talking about this in Bible study. There's something I call your internal dialogue. Your internal dialogue is one thing, but your outward display is another thing. You may be dishonoring them inside here, but don't let it come out there. I know ain't none of y'all ever done this, but the way I grew up, you can't go off on your mama, because your mama would wear you out. Amen. But I did go off on my mama. I just did it in here. I fussed at her in here. I was smart enough not to let that come out there. Look, she the elect lady, but she was born in Gary, Indiana. I learned, don't play with her. So, I wanted to dishonor, but I try to do it in here and not let it come out there. Now you have to work on it in here. You can't just be harboring wrong things. But sometimes in the moment, you have feelings that you can't deal with. Keep those feelings inside. Some of y'all, when you're on Facebook, Facebook is not a therapy session. Don't get up there and tell all your feelings. Keep some of that stuff inside. Because what happens is you begin to move into dishonor. And when you move into dishonor, you disassociate yourself from the possibility of being blessed. Honor unlocks blessings. Who you honor and how you honor unlocks blessings. Because you can honor somebody, but do it in a wrong way. Yeah. It's pastor appreciation moment. I don't know why they always talking about appreciating the pastor. How about member appreciating? Yeah, I'm going to give my money. Yeah, you did it, but your spirit was wrong. It's not just who you honor, it's how you honor. But honor unlocks and unleashes blessings over our life. I wish I could just dig in there right now. But sometimes watch people. Let me go back to the children example. One thing I have noticed is that children who grow up and they've been allowed to dishonor their parents, their mama, their daddy, and just authority figures altogether, their life usually doesn't work out that well. If they're 4 years old cussing people out, they're going to probably be in prison before it's too long. Because there is something about honor. Honor is a way you carry yourself. Carry yourself with honor. And let me also say this. Don't dishonor yourself. If, I didn't mean to go here, but let me just throw this out. If you're not a prostitute, stop dressing like one.
Well, I don't know why all these men be talking all crazy to me. Wait a second. Learn how to honor yourself. It doesn't mean that that gives them a right. Just because you wear something wrong doesn't give someone a right to say the wrong thing. But learn how to honor yourself. You are the most important person in your life. Honor you, value you, and maybe other people will do the same. So honor unlocks blessings as well. Number one that we had was specific requests will unlock blessings and honor. Let's move on. Hebrews 11:6. Would you read that?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
This is such a simple verse, and it's so powerful. I could preach a whole sermon just on this verse, but I'm just going to pull out two keys from this verse. Key number one, which is number three that we have here, is faith unlocks the door to blessings. Would y'all put it up on the screen for me? Faith unlocks the door to blessings. So when you look throughout the Bible, you will see a theme of several things. One of the themes is love, but another theme right behind it is faith. God has unlocked a whole nother world to us. And that world is an invisible, unseen world. It's an unseen realm, and you can only access it through faith. And so what we're doing many times, we are asking God to bless us, and God has already blessed us, but he's blessed us in heavenly places, in spiritual realms, and you have to use your faith to bring it from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. So you have to use your faith. And the first thing it says, you must believe that he is. And you don't even believe in God. That's the problem I had in college. I was wondering why things wasn't working well. And here I am saying, I don't know if I believe in you. So why should God move for me? And I don't even know if I believe in him. You must believe that he is. Use your faith, first of all, to believe that he is. And then second of all, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that brings me to point number four. Diligently seeking God unlocks the door to blessings. So faith unlocks it, but diligently seeking God unlocks blessings. Not every now and then. Every now and again. That's why the first part of our vision statement is we connect with our Creator continually. Not for the blessings, but because he is our Creator. But some of y'all don't want to connect and then you want the blessings. Stop being stuck on stupid. Get connected to God and diligently seek him. Seek him. I mean, you have to put some work in. We always talk about prayer and reading the Bible, and most Christians don't do either one of those things, but there's more things you can do to get the word of God in you. You can listen to sermons, you can listen to music, you can call a friend that will encourage you, but whatever you do, diligently seek God. Stop going through stuff and always wonder, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? You are thinking out loud, but you never talk to God. God, why am I going through this? Start seeking him and do it diligently, not haphazardly, diligently. I believe it was last year I made a statement that God gave me a prophetic word to be serious and be dedicated. Be serious and be dedicated. We're too flimsy in church sometimes. We're too happenstance. It's no, seek God. Now, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but every single year I read through the Bible every single year. I allow the word of God. That's why I know what I know, because I put time in it. I don't just get up here and pull a message off of the internet. No, I put time in this. Don't expect the life that I have if you won't put time in it. There's a saying that they studied, and they believe that it takes 10,000 hours to make someone an expert. When you look at people and you look at what they spend their time on, it usually takes about 10,000 hours of working in one specific field to become an expert in that field. How many hours have you spent in the things of God? The reason why you're not an expert and you're not blessed because you really don't spend time in the things of God. I know I'm not talking to y'all because y'all at church when you don't have to be. But some of y'all, that's all you do. I just want to go in there and check my thing to say I walk through the doors. You need to do more than walk through the doors. You need something so you can live this life. Here's something that we have to understand. People out there are dying, but they won't come in here if we're not doing any better than they are. If they look at us and we're in the same shape that they are, why don't I stay home and watch football? Why would I get up and come to the church if you're just like me? But when God begins to bless us and change us and transform us, people start looking at us, and before you say anything, what are you doing? What is something different about you? You're not the same. There's a transformation. It's because you've been diligently seeking the Lord. We are God's ambassadors, but we must be seeking him, and we must be doing in a manner that is diligently. Diligently means you put time in it. Diligent means attention to details. Another thing that I've learned, let me go back to reading the Bible throughout a year. One thing I've learned is I've assumed a lot of stuff that the Bible said because of stuff I've heard. And so I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading it like I heard it preached, and then I read it and I'm like, that's not even what it really said. That's what I thought it said because I haven't put any diligence in it. Because here's the thing, we all know this, you can read the Bible and skim it. You can read the Bible and fall asleep and not really put any attention to it. I'm not telling you you got to read through the Bible in a year, but you need to read the Bible sometime. You need to dig in it sometime. You can't let me do all your work for you. I can preach to you, but I can't do all that work for you. Some of this stuff, you got to plant this word in your heart and let it take root and let it transform your life and look at the devil and say, devil, you can't have me because I have the word of God in my life. Through diligently seeking. Sometimes you just need a mentor. You need somebody that know more than you to walk and do life with you. Sometimes you need to fast and cut some stuff out. Sometimes you need to make some pushes. Sometimes you got to sacrifice some stuff. Nobody reaches greatness without sacrifice. You ask LeBron James, the reason why he's a four-time champion is because he has sacrificed. You ask Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, the reason why he was what he was is because of his sacrifice. It was because of his drive. It's because of what he went after. You cannot be mediocre and make a big difference in life. You have to be diligent. You have to be focused. You got, even in your marriage, yes, you, me and Devin ain't the only cute people in my city. And just because I want Devin and Devin want me doesn't mean other folk don't want Devin and other folk don't want me. But why have we made it 20 years? Because we are diligently put. You got to put work in a marriage. It's not happenstance. You got to work on it. You got to forgive. You got to pull each other together. You got to let stuff go. You got to stop bringing up the past. It takes work to be what you want to be. Oh, but this is what we want. Pour oil on my head and fix all my problems. Like, yeah, you know, you need some diligently seek. Because what's going to happen? You're going to wake up an oily devil and have the same troubles when you walk out of here. You need to put some diligence in this thing. If I'm anything, I'm a driven person. I'm not perfect, but I'm driven. You're not going to find me just wasting time twiddling my thumbs. I'm always doing something. I'm doing stuff that y'all don't know nothing about. I'm going after stuff, doing stuff, writing things. I'm always, because I'm trying to be everything God wanted me to be. Miles Monroe, when he died, he said, you should die empty. He said, the saddest place is the graveyard, not because people died, but they died with dreams inside of them. They died with books inside of them. They died with poetry inside of them. They wouldn't let it out because, oh, somebody was mean to me. No, push this thing. Be diligent and be what the world needs. You're the only one that the world gets. The world's not going to get another Donald just like you. You're the only one. There's not two snowflakes that are made alike. They are made different. Every human being is different. If you don't do what God has called you to do, there's nobody else to do it. You're the only one. I'm the only one that can be the Andre that I need to be. So I'm going to be diligent. And it'll unlock some blessings for me. I've seen major blessings, but there's more coming. I promise you there's more coming. All right, let's move on. Deuteronomy 11:26 is going to take us into our fifth point.
See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse.
God is telling them before, when they were in Deuteronomy, this is the children of Israel, he said, I'm actually setting before you a blessing and a curse. I'm going to set them right before you. Here's the thing. God gave us free will. We have the choice to do whatever we want to do. But he told us this one is the blessing and this one is the curse. So choose the blessing. What he was trying to give them a hint. Have you ever been in school and there's a test and you're struggling and the teacher trying to give you the answer? She can't give you the answer, but she's trying to give you the answer. They trying to hint, like really trying to give you the answer. What's 2 + 2? I'm trying to help you out. And some people just still miss it. And God told the children of Israel, I'm going to set two things before you. But guess what? One of them is a curse. One of them ain't going to work. So choose this one. All right, let's read. 27.
The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today.
All right. We'll stay on 27 for a second. He said the blessing is connected to your obedience.
Yes.
So I'm going to set a curse before you, and I'm going to set blessing before you. Here's the thing about the curse. The curse is easy to get into. Because the curse, you don't have to have any effort to get into the curse. The curse calls you at the middle of the night. If you've ever been addicted, you can tell yourself on Monday, I'm not doing it. By Monday night, you'll be doing it because the curse will call you.
Yes.
The curse is easy to fall into. But in order to get into the blessing, you have to have some obedience. There has to be some radical obedience. Not only do you have to be diligent, but you have to be obedient. And some of the reason why some people are blessed and some people aren't is the people who aren't are just stubborn. You ever met a person that if you tell them to do it, they ain't going to do it. But if they think of it on their own, they're going to do it. That kids are like that. If you tell them to do it, they don't want to do it. That's that spirit of stubbornness. The Bible says stubbornness is like witchcraft, and it's like idolatry. Because what you're doing, you are making yourself the idol. I'm going to do it my way. But God says there's a blessing if you do it my way. All right? And here's the thing. We've all made that mistake. We've all took the curse. We've all done it. But the older you get and the more you're in this, sometimes I'm harsh on people, but I'm not harsh on new Christians. But if you've been saved a long time, some of this stuff you shouldn't be falling for anymore. I ain't been to church in 6 months. Why? What happened? Is it your body? No, I didn't like the way Teresa looked at me. You mean you've been saved 20 years and you let the way somebody look at you keep you out of church? You mean you've been stuck in that immature level that long? You've been skipping blessings that long because Teresa didn't look at you right? What you didn't know is Teresa had a toothache and she was just grimacing. It had nothing to do with you. And you stayed out of church 6 months being foolish and petty. Now, I'm a loving pastor, but that kind of stuff get on my nerves. Because I'm thinking, you mean you disassociated yourself from blessings over silly stuff like that? Do you know churches have split up? I mean, totally split up over the silliest of things, over the smallest of things. And they all say, oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. No, you're not. You're foolish. Grow up. Now, I'm grateful you guys aren't like that. You're growing up. But if you want to tick me off, go back and start going and being immature in the things of God when there's so many things to be dealing with. When people are dying in the street of drug overdose, we don't have to worry about, you sat in my seat. I'm mad at you because you sat in my seat. Please, let's not get that petty. Please, if we're going to be attacked, let the devil attack us with something for real. Let us not let the devil in over silly stuff. Donald too loud when he pray. I don't like him. So what? God didn't ask you to like him. God told you to love him. Bring your hind into church, listen to his loud prayer, shut your mouth, and get your blessing. Stop letting silly things stop your blessing. Because here's the thing. The Bible says, I will bless people through you. So when your blessing is stopped up over silly stuff, there's other people connected to you don't get what they need because of you. All right, that's a, that's that
That's enough of that. I don't like to stay in that fussing mode too much. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. I may not get an offering if I start fussing too much. All right, let's look at verse 28.
And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known.
He said that there's a blessing and a curse. Here's the thing. If you obey this way, that's going to be the blessing. If you turn around and follow gods that you don't know, following gods that you don't know nothing about. Yeah, she's pretty. Yeah, she's built like a Coke bottle, but she didn't put breath in my life. She didn't put breath in my body. So I cannot make her a god. Yeah, your children are important, but some parents make their children their idol. You can't take your child and put your child in every sporting event and miss all church because I got to have them this and got them having this and got them having this. You're doing all that and they making S and you still run them here and run them there. Y'all need to both sit down somewhere and get a hold of God. You stop making your child your idol. God is the only person. I have no other gods before me. Now, let me clarify that. I'm not saying you can't have your children and stuff. I've had my children in a lot of stuff. But you understand that when they're not in those things, they are in the house of the Lord. My children have a drug problem, and I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church whether I wanted or not, and they're going to be drugged to church whether they want it or not. If you live in my house, you don't get the chance to have a choice. Bring your tail to the house of God. Reason why I am the man I am is because I'm glad my parents gave me a drug problem and drugged me to church and that the Spirit of God got down in me. And maybe I was sleeping and maybe I was playing, but God was arresting my soul. And I am who I am because somebody brought me to the house of God. One of the saddest things is to see people make other people idols, to see parents make their children idols. Or see spouses make their spouse an idol. A man, I can't stand a henpecked man. I don't mean that you shouldn't do what your wife wants done, because many times your wife needs something, but some men are just so henpecked. When the woman say jump, they say ha ha. That woman is your idol. I love Devin, but she cannot be my idol. How can I lead her if she's my idol? She's right a lot of times, but she's not always right. And I need to be able to stand up and say, no, we're not going this way. Yeah, baby, we're going to do whatever you want to do. No, I'm going to lead. You married me because I was a leader, so let me lead. Let me be the man I'm called to be. And I'm glad she allows me to be the man that I'm called to be. She allows me to function in the anointing, but I'm not her idol either. She don't mind saying, Andre, you off in this area. She don't call me pastor, bishop, none of that. Andre, you off. You need to bring it. No, you need to dial it back. Because see, the way I am now, I'm an animated person, but I get animated at home. And Devin don't want to hear all that yelling, hollering, and hands moving. She'd be like, look, you need to chill out. If you're going to talk to me, you need to lower your voice. I don't want to lower my voice. Well, guess what? I was yelling by myself because Devin would walk out the room. And if I wanted to have an intelligent conversation with her, I was going to have to bring myself down. I'm not her idol, and she's not my idol. There's only one God. God is the one who died for me, who raised me, who watches over me, and he's the only one that gets the ultimate respect. Now, if my children are my idol and my wife is not my idol, you ought to know you ain't my idol either. So if you don't like what I preach, there's plenty of churches around. You ain't the last person that's going to come through the doors. I will not allow you to dictate what God does in my life. I hope you love me. I hope you're with me. I hope you give to me. But if you don't give, you're not going to control nothing, because you didn't call me and you can't save me and you can't deliver me. Only God can do that. Oh, but let me reverse it. I'm your pastor, but do not make me your idol. Don't put me on a pedestal and then when I fall, be mad because I fail. No, your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Well, my pastor said, well, stop always talking about what I said. What does the Bible say?
The reason why I bring you the Bible so you can know what the Bible says, and you ain't got to be running around talking about what Pastor Andre said. I'm not your idol. I'm a man called by God. You are a woman or a man called by God, and we're doing life together, but God is our only idol. And if he is our idol, we should obey him and not turn away from him. And if we do that, it unlocks blessings. All right, number five. Go ahead and read that for me, Mother Mitchell.
Choosing to obey God unlocks the door to blessings.
All right, that's what we basically were saying. All right, we're going to move into our next set of scriptures, which will get us to point number six. Read.
And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan.
I'm going to take just a quick rabbit trail and just show you something that I'm doing today. And I do it often, but today I'm preaching a topical sermon, which means I'm taking several topics and several verses to go into the same thing of blessing. So I'm moving around. So that means I'm not giving you full context. But the reason why you see it on the screen is so that you can follow up for yourself and read the full thing. When I drop in the middle of things, sometimes I don't have time to explain the full context. I'm just lifting it out to make the point that I need to make. But it's very important that you start reading things in context. So when I do that, I'm going to have to catch you up to speed with what's going on. So in this particular verse, what is going on, that God had declared something called the Jubilee Year. It was every 50 years. And in the 50th year, the Jubilee Year, he did things different. And so he told them to function and operate different. So really what it was seven sevens. God's number is seven. So it was seven sevens, which means 49. So on the 50th year, he would bring something different and something special. And so he was telling them something that we're going to paint a picture from. So let's go back to 25:10 and read it again for me.
And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan.
Now we're just reading through it, but think about it, that it actually upset their life in some way because they had to do things totally different than they had done the 49 years previous. And once you're used to doing things one way and there's a shift coming, it's hard to get people to shift. And that's what this pandemic is all about. God is allowing us to shift the church, but some people don't want to go. You just want to do it the way you've always done it. But God is not the God that does things always the same. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but his methods will change. And the way he does things will change. And if you listen to him, he will warn you ahead so when it comes, you know what to do. And many times when things come, he's already warned us about it, but we're already comfortable. I want you to work this job 3 years, and then I'm going to move you, and I want you to start a business. But on the third year, they're giving out raises. Let me work two more years. But that ain't what God said. If you ever want to hear a testimony, hear Bishop and Apostle talk about how rheumatoid arthritis came over his life because he just changed the instruction a little. See, many times we get comfortable. And what we do, instead of unlocking blessings, we lock up blessings. And then when we lock up blessings, curses have a chance to get on us. And so we're going to go through this and see that God says some specific things. So let's go to the next one, verse 11.
That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vine.
Now it says in this year, you don't work like you've been doing. You don't even sow and reap. So that means what you normally was eating and doing, you don't do it. It's a total change. It's a total adjustment. It's a total restart. And sometimes when God restarts and restores, it starts off looking like a disadvantage. And many times we say, oh, no, I don't want that. Let me go back to the marriage thing. You all happy to be in marriage and you walk down the aisle and you get past the honeymoon. And then that first week of life, hell come right in your house. Oh, I don't know. I ain't signed up for all this. Yes, you did. When you stood up at the altar, that's exactly what you signed up for. But sometimes when God is adjusting you, it doesn't always feel pleasant right away. But if you give it time, it brings something. My father-in-law, Chuck, we call him Chucky. My kids call him Caw-Caw. He said something that I've never forgotten when me and Devin were going to get married. Actually, I asked her hand in marriage. I know I'm young looking, but I'm old school. I went to her parents and asked her their hand in marriage. And they gave me the permission. But he said something to me. He said, marriage is like taking two things and making them one. And he talked to me because me and him both, he worked at Warner Gear and I worked in Chevrolet Muncie, and talked about how when those gears become cut, when they come together, all kinds of sparks fly. When you bring that grinding wheel into that gear, you see sparks. It looked like that thing getting ready to blow up, but it's cutting and it's making that piece into something new. When you take two separate people and bring them together, sparks are supposed to fly. See, y'all done got caught up in what the movies tell you. And we live happily ever after. No, there's no such thing as happily ever after. After the honeymoon and the flowers and the cake, you got to live life. And you got to bring yourself together. And you find out that your wife leaves toothpaste on the side of the sink. And then your hair comb is in the toothpaste. And now you're mad. Why you leave the toothpaste on the side of it? Well, I didn't mean it. You know what you're doing. You done it 4 days in a row. Now y'all fighting over stupid stuff. That's just life. You're coming together, and you got to give and take to become one. Me and Devin are one, but yeah, it's some friction. And so in many things, when God is blessing you, marriage is a blessing. Children are a blessing. Jobs are a blessing. But guess what? On the job that's blessing you, you're going to find some folk that's going to drive you nuts on the job. It's a blessing to get the check, but you're going to go through hell to get the check. Folk are going to make you mad. You're going to feel like fighting. But sometimes when God blesses you, it doesn't always feel like a blessing. But stay in it. Stop running the first sign of trouble. Stay in it. Buckle your seatbelt and ride this thing called life and live it to its fullest. You cannot check out every time things get rough. Amen. Now, I love them, but that's one thing I have against millennials. Millennials will check out. If it ain't right, I'm gone. When they give you their work history, they done worked 25 jobs and they only 22. How you got that many jobs? Were you fired that many times? No, I left. I left because they said I had to work Saturday. Well, yeah, they told me I had to work Saturday too, but I got a house to provide for. Some stuff you got to just shut up and take. You can't quit every time things get rough. You're making $20 an hour. I'm thinking about quitting. Pastor, why? What happened? Well, there's a guy on my job. He looking at me funny. But is he paying you? If he ain't paying you, you stop looking at him. Go get your money. Don't worry about him. Listen, this the only thing your job owes you is a paycheck. They don't owe you respect. They don't owe to kiss your behind and none of that stuff. Well, they won't let me eat in the break room. Who cares? Are they still paying you? If they still paying you, get your money and leave. You ain't got to have friends on the job. You need money. But immature people will quit over everything. I had a bunch of reasons to quit. Brother Will has had a bunch of reasons to quit the job. But there ain't a whole lot of jobs playing with GM Pay. So guess what? We keep going in, and we got to go in tonight. And we're probably going to put up with some stuff tonight. But on Friday, they're going to pay us what belongs to us. Stick it out. I've been there 23 years, and he's been there longer than me. You got to stick some stuff out. I don't even know how I got off on that. Let me get back. Let's go to verse 18.
Therefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely.
He said, I'm getting ready to change things. It's going to be a jubilee year. It's going to start off different. You're going to have to do something different. But if you keep my statutes, if you hold on to me, even when it gets a little shaky, I promise you when you come out of it. I promise you, I have thanked God for stuff that hurt me to my core, but when I came out of it, there's an anointing that I had when I came out of it. Here's the thing, I'm glad that I came out. You may go through, but the only thing you got to worry about is that you come out. And if you hold to God's statutes, if you hold to God's unchanging hand, if you hold to his word, if you hold to the sermons you heard and hold to the praise that you have, if you hold on, God will turn it around. Stay in there. You shall do my statutes, and you got to keep my rules and perform them. We're going to go to verse 19.
The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell in it securely.
He said, what's going to happen is the land, and the way I can say that, because that is an agrarian culture all the way up until really to the industrial age, which is our time. So most people who read this stuff understood sowing and reaping. We don't understand that as much, but this is what he was saying. He said, the land will start working for you. And so let me say this, the system will start working in your favor even when the system wasn't designed for you. In America, the system wasn't designed for black people. It was designed for white males. You can look at the way it was designed. Finally, they allowed the women to get in and we start getting our way in, and they try to squash us in every way. But even though it wasn't designed for me, because I'm holding the God's unchanging hand, the system has to bow to me because I'm greater than the system. Yes, it may be a white supremacist system, but I'm a child of the king. And I don't care what you're trying to do to get over me. Yeah, it may happen for a while, but you can't keep me down forever. I got too much inside of me. You can't hold me down forever. You can try to oppress me, but still I rise. You can try to deny my vote, but still I rise. You can try to fire me off a job, but still I rise. You can shoot me in the street, but still I rise. You can't stop this black man, because this black man got the Holy Ghost down on the inside. And whoever you are, whether you're black or white, you can say the same thing. Because many times things weren't designed for none of us. Even if you're white, it really wasn't designed for you. It was designed for the green. It's all about the dollar. But we're living in a day where God is rearranging things and he's changing things. That's why the political system is going so crazy, because God's shaking things up. And the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's some money looking for me. It's money searching for me. Money trying to find me. There's cars trying to find me. There's vacations trying to find me, because I've held on, and when Jubilee comes, you can't stop me, because God has set it up. So I just got ahead of myself a little. Let's read the next verse 20.
And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop?
How are we going to be taken care of if we can't go to the job we've always gone to? Let me bring my story back up again. Just last year, we were on a strike. And when you're on a strike, you only get $250 a week. I'm not used to getting $250 a week. So how are we going to survive? But God, I had more money in the strike than I had while I was working. I didn't know what God did. And so they were saying, how is this going to work out? Because some things don't make sense in the natural. But it's not natural, it's supernatural. How am I going to be blessed if I give it away? How am I going to be blessed if I'm stuck in Muncie? I got to go to Atlanta to make it. No, baby, you can make it right here in Muncie, Indiana, Delaware County. You can make it right here. If God says you're here, you can make it. But let's go back. They asked a specific question. What are we going to eat if we don't sow and reap? If we don't do what's always been done? Look at the next verse.
I will command my blessings on you in the sixth year, so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years.
He said, I'm going to command my blessing. Now, here's the thing. It's one thing, we're talking about being blessed, but what God says, if you follow this order, I'm going to command the blessing. Guess what? When God commands the blessing can't do nothing but do what God told it to do. God saw in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth, and he saw darkness. And he said, light be. Light showed up out of darkness, because he commanded light to come. And God said, if you do it my way, I'll command the blessing. If you follow my laws, I'll command the blessing. I don't care what your degree is. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care what your 401k look like. When I command a blessing, everything that's blessed is trying to find your house, because God will command it. And he told him, I'll give you so much, it'll last you for 3 years. Don't worry about what's going to happen this year. Just do it my way. Follow my orders. And when I command a blessing, I'll set you up. I'll give you an overflowing blessing. I think they sang the song in praise, fill me up till I overflow. I'm looking for an overflowing blessing that I know I'm taking care of for the next 3 years. God's going to command a blessing. Somebody say it with me. Say, God, command a blessing for me, for Deliverance Temple, for my family, for my bank account, for my body. Command a blessing. Yes.
All right. That brings us to point number six. Trusting God's ways and God's timing unlocks the door to blessings. God's ways and God's timing. Let's look at Psalms 119:54.
Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourn.
So in the other thing, when we're talking about the Jubilee, it says you got to hold on to his statutes. So then I'm coming for point seven. I'm coming where David writes in Psalms, your statutes have been my song in the house of my sojourning. My sojourning means my going through. If you ever been in church any time, any length of time, you hear a whole bunch of people talking about, I'm going through. And they ain't lying, because we all be going through. Because the fact that we name the name of Christ, we have a devil, we have demons, we have imps, we have principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, and they are all trying to shut us down and stop us and make us back up. So guess what? You will go through. The Bible says in this life, you will have persecution. But I told the Bible study group on Wednesday, here's the thing. We're going through, but I say folk going through. So if I'm going to go through, I might as well go through on this side. You have drug dealers that Satan makes sure they get set up and sent to prison. They start doing his deed, killing the community, and he makes sure they go to jail. So if you're going to do something, you might as well do it for God. If you're going to go through hell, you might as well go through hell on God's side with God on your team. Because here, the whole world is going through something. It's not just church folk. A whole world, but I'm glad I'm on God's side. But what I'm doing, I'm going through. I'm not stopping in. I'm sojourning. I'm going through. And what David said, I'm holding on to your statutes as I go through. As I go through the storm, I'm holding on to what I heard. I'm holding on to the sermons. I'm holding on to what I believe. Here's the thing. The devil will try to shake your faith so you don't even believe what you believe. You believe it, but you don't even know if you believe it. In other words, you've been single so long, when somebody starts talking about marriage, you'll be like, yeah, praise the Lord. Because I've been single so long. I've been broke so long that when he gets up there talking about turning around, yeah, God will turn around. Yeah, repeat after me, God will turn it around.
God will turn it around.
Repeat after me, say, God is going to give me increase.
God's going to give me increase.
You believe it, but you've been beat up so long, you really don't believe it. But what David said, I'm going to hold on to your statutes. I don't care what it look like. If they tell me to yell, God, command a blessing, even if I don't see no blessing for miles, I'm still going to say it. I'm going to hold on to God's statute. I don't care if I don't get blessed to heaven, I'm going to get blessed. I don't care if I don't get healed to heaven, I'm going to get healed. I'm holding on to the statutes of God. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to be like, I ain't saved no more. No, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm delivered. Things may not look right, but I'm holding on to the statutes of God as I sojourn. Let's look at 1955.
I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law.
That night is not talking about a 24-hour day. It's talking about when you get in a night season. When you get in a season where everything is dark and nothing is working right. This is what he said. He said, I'm going to remember your name. One thing I don't want to ever happen, that I go through so much that I forget who God is. Never shall forget what you've done for me. You may not be doing it right now, but you've done it before. And if you've done it before, you can do it again. And I might be in a night season. I might be in a dark moment. And I might be going through something I never thought I would go through. But I will not forget you, God. You still put breath in my body. You still saved my life. You still delivered me. I won't forget what you've done for me, God. I'm going to hold on. Sometimes you got to hold and cry. Sometimes you got to hold and pray. Sometimes you got to hold and crawl and hold and wallow. But whatever you do, stand. Stand therefore. Believe God. If you fall down, get up. I'm holding on to the statutes of God. One thing I don't want to happen is the devil to get the victory. He's already defeated, but if I give up, he gets the victory. No, I'm going to keep going so I can spit in his face one day and say, you thought you had me, but I'm delivered. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you're going through, but I done been through some stuff. And you don't know what I'm going through, but I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to show up one day and say, I'm quitting being the pastor. I can't do it no more. No, some days I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to still do it because this is what I'm called to do. The devil will not get the glory. In my night, I'm still going to remember him, and I'm still going to keep your law. All right, let's go to Psalms 119:56.
This blessing has fallen to me because I have kept your precepts.
He said the blessing just fell on me because I kept your precepts. Here's what you don't understand. You don't know when the night's going in. You don't know when the storm's going in. But one day blessing will just fall on you because you held on and you didn't quit. Blessing will just show up and stuff start happening that don't make sense. And guess what? We're moving in a season where stuff is mind-blowing, mind-boggling blessings. It don't make sense. Head swimming blessings. Blessings that make your head turn around. How did this happen? You held on in the night.
After the night, joy will come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. All right, let's go to number 7. I gotta move on.
Holding on to God despite adversity unlocks the door to blessings.
That's what those verses is about. Holding on to God despite the adversity unlocks the door to blessing. These next verses are going to get us to point number 8. Let's read Proverbs 24 and 23.
More sayings of the wise. These also are sayings of the wise. Partiality in judging is not good.
He said we're going to turn the corner. Being partial in the way you judge is not right. So read the next verse.
Whoever says to the wicked, you are in the right, will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations.
Or hated by nations. But here's the thing. We have people in leadership calling wrong right and right wrong. And God says, we cannot do that. Let's look at the next verse.
But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them.
Those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and blessing will come on them. So that gets us to point number 8. I'll read point number 8 when they put it up. Standing up to and against wickedness unlocks the door to blessings. Stop acting like right is wrong and wrong is right. Stop making excuses for people's wickedness. When it's wicked, you need to stand up and say something, especially when it's in the church. Wickedness in the church. That's okay. You know, Pastor Andre, just a human. You know, men just need a little extra on the side. The devil is a lie. If I'm doing that stuff, don't you stay in my church. You pray for me. Get me delivered. But don't be letting me go around being stupid. No, stand up against that which is wicked.
All right, let's go to Exodus 32 and 24.
And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out.
We're moving into verse 9. We're moving into point 9, and so we're moving off of the wickedness, and we're dropping you right where Moses has come down. He's seen the children of Israel building a golden calf. He up there talking to God. They're down there building a golden calf, and here's Aaron's excuse. They just gave me the gold, and here a calf popped out. Come on, Aaron. Come on. You ever had your kids just tell you a lie? Like, if you're going to lie, at least do it better than that. He said, he's just lying. But let's look how deep it gets. Let's look at verse 25.
Now, when Moses saw the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies.
There's a word in the Bible called lasciviousness, which means unrestrained. There are people in the church that just don't have any restraints. They'll do anything, say anything, act any way, and dare you to say something about it because of the grace of God. Listen, the grace of God is not for you just to act any kind of way. God didn't die for you to be acting crazy. God didn't die for no priest to put his hands on a little boy and act like it's okay and have the whole church covered up like it's okay. That's wicked, and folk need to stand up against it. Well, I can't go against the Catholic Church. You better go against somebody. That's wicked. Stop thinking wickedness is okay.
and specifically wickedness in you. Because we all got a little wickedness in us. And if we let it rise and let it rise, the one song said, let the glory of the Lord rise among us. If you don't watch it, the wickedness of your body will rise among you. You got to squash that stuff, put it down, repent, pray, confess, apologize, do what you got to do. Sometimes we just mess up, but we can't act like it's okay. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not okay. Next verse.
Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him.
Said, whoever is on the Lord's side, whoever. That means some folk is in the church, but they ain't on the Lord's side. All right, let's read.
And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother.
What? Do what?
Kill his brother.
Did you read that right?
And let every man kill his brother.
Read.
Every man his companion and every man his neighbor.
That's why you better be glad we live in the new covenant and not the old covenant. Because he said, who's on the Lord's side? They said, we on the Lord's side. He said, get your swords and go through the camp and don't be like, hey, I'm praying for you. No, start cutting some stuff up. I'm so glad I'm under the grace of God because I've been bled and got cut and got chopped up and you would have too. But he said, it didn't just say kill the enemy. It said kill your brother, your neighbor, your companion. You mean your body? Your spouse, Devin, got to go. I love you, but you got to go. You're cutting up. You better be grateful for the cross. Let's look at verse 29.
Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother.
He said, a blessing gonna come on you because you have opposed those closest to you. And that leads me to point number 9. Read that for me, Mother Mitchell.
Radically choosing the Lord's side, even when it means going against family, unlocks the door to blessings.
This is not a season where you get to cut folk. You don't get to cut nobody and shoot nobody in this season. But you're going to go against some of your family members. They're not going to like you. They're going to talk about it, you. And some of y'all be like, well, I'd rather have the love of my family than, you know, because I want to be invited to the family reunion. Do you want to get to heaven? Bump the family reunion. If your family is wicked and doing stuff, you need to stand up and do what is right. I heard a story about a man who was in the church, and he was touching little girls in the church. Not just one, he had a history of it. Had even done some stuff with his own daughters. But his wife kept covering for him because that's my husband. He paid the bills. You mean you're going to allow people to go through that? And we can shake our head, but we have done that, especially black folk have covered up stuff. Well, you know, that's just the way grandpa is. No, grandpa need to be locked up. He need to stop doing wrong and ruining people's lives. Well, he was nice to me. I know he was nice, but right now he wicked. And we need to stand up against it, and we need to say something. We need to stop acting so scary and so punkish. If people are doing wicked, stand up and say something. And let me say something else to all y'all folks say, well, I don't want to be a snitch. Listen, if folk are robbing and killing and shooting in your neighborhood, you go open your mouth, go to the police station, and tell on who they are. He got a bald head, he got a blue suit on, he got a pink tie on, he got a beard, that's the one, he drive a black Cadillac, that's the one causing this trouble. Man, I don't want to be a snitch. No, stand up against wickedness. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Stand up and be the church. Last point. We'll move through this quickly. I put this at the end so y'all don't think I'm trying to get money out your pockets. Here's the last thing as we go. Let's go to Malachi 3:10.
Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing
until there
is a blessing.
All right.
Until there is no more need.
All right, we're going to go to Malachi 3:11. Skip over that next verse and go to Malachi 3:11.
I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts.
Malachi 3:12.
Then all nations will call you blessed.
Call you what?
Blessed.
Blessed.
For you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts.
Let's add Deuteronomy 16:16.
Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed.
Not appear before the Lord empty-handed. If you want to unlock blessings, stop having your hand always out and always being empty. You always want folks to put stuff in your hand, but you don't ever want to put something in somebody else's hand. Some of y'all need to go take some folk out. They're always paying the bill, and you need to fight them so they don't take the bill. Some of y'all are just leeches. Maybe not y'all. Maybe some folk in television land. But will suck somebody dry, take everything from them, and it's no. Stop being that way. Stop always being empty-handed, never having nothing to give, never having nothing to offer, never volunteering, never offering. People take you from here, there, and everywhere. You don't never offer gas money. Don't never say nothing. No, giving unlocks the blessing over your life. Stop being so stingy. Stop always taking. Stop hustling folk every chance you get and start living a life where you are a giver and a blesser and a blesser. Do you know some people run away from you when they see you? Oh, God, here they come. Because you're going to ask for something. When they see your number come on the phone, thank God for call ID, because they get ready to ask for something. They're going to ask for some turkey, some ham, some sugar, something. Now, you get food stamps like I get food stamps. Why ain't you got nothing? I don't mind helping you, but why you want to take everything? And then come to the house of God, empty hand. Don't give nothing. And then go back out when the people in the world say all the pastors do is take the money from the church. Yeah, they do. They ain't take your money because you ain't putting nothing in there. I don't know why you talking. Why don't you be quiet? Let's go to the next verse.
Every man shall give as he is able.
What? Nobody's asking you to do more than what you're able. I don't want your light money. I don't want your heat money, your gas money. I don't want your car note. Keep all that stuff. I don't want you walking. Talking about I gave the deliverance tip, now I'm walking. No, that's your fault. No, keep all that. Give what you are able to give. Let's go back to that verse.
Glory. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God that he has given you.
It's according to if God has blessed you. If God has blessed you and you got something to give, give and you'll keep the blessing flowing. If you don't have nothing to give, just come and smile and have a good time. Sometimes you don't have nothing to give. I ain't telling you to give when you don't have anything to give, but you ought to give something. You ought to give your time. You ought to give a smile. You ought to volunteer. I can't give nothing in the offering, but can I hold the bucket? Can I do something? I'm going to do something. I ain't just going to come here and suck up everything because I'm a blesser and I'm unlocking blessings over my life. So I'm going to do it. Number 10. Read number 10. That's the last one.
Tithing and giving unlocks the door to blessings.
I kept that last because normally anytime I talk about blessings, people start there first. Let me put that last because y'all be giving in this church and I appreciate it. But there's more to do. If you want to keep things unlocked, keep doing what you've been doing. And the ones who haven't been doing, do it more. Get better at it. All right. Let's go to our prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And we appreciate you for all that you have done. We thank you for transformation, revival, healing, and forgiveness. And God, help us to unlock the blessing over our life so much so that people can recognize us. And when they look at us, they'll say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, God, if there's anybody who does not know you in the pardon of their sins, God, they need this connection to you.
this saving grace, this delivering power, and this blessing, supernatural blessing, because you call it the blessing, which starts off as the salvation blessing. So that is the initial blessing. So, Father God, I pray that they would say these words with me. In the name of Jesus, I declare, I am saved because I believe you will come in my life, and because of the cross, you will wash me, clean me, and make me whole. And I'll start from this day forward being a blessing and unlocking blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and put your hands together for Pink Sunday. Amen. We dismiss you. We want to say goodbye to you. We love you.